Today on Movie Rollers, we're going to review Mr. Peabody and Sherman and The Muppets Most Wanted. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yasti as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings all.
Hello.
So Rashmi and I have been smoking all weekend.
Ooh, dope. Good quality.
Smoking barbecue meats.
Yes.
So it was funny. I spoke to a guy a few weeks ago, and he was telling me about this grill that he bought, and it was like,
and you thought it was like all gangster. Look at this grill.
Well, no, it was just no. It wasn't grills. Yeah, Rashmi's speaking to rapper, basically braces for rappers. They somehow got called grills. But anyway, and this guy was so enthusiastic about his barbecue. He'd taken pictures of his barbecue meat on his cell phone, and he was showing me pictures of his kids. He was like, and then look at this chicken we did, and then these ribs are the best thing I ever had.
Look at this. So anyway, chicken.
I know somebody like that, by the way.
Really?
Mike Dottorisi. Oh. Hey, Mike, if you're listening.
And if you're not,
well, this
not?
Was an unusual thing to me. I'd never heard anyone get so enthusiastic about their grilled meats. And anyway, we went to the mall and saw a Traeger grill, which was the specific make of barbecue that he told me. And we bought one, and it's been wonderful.
Really?
It's actually the best, one of the best chickens we've ever made.
It's unbelievable. It's
barbecues to die for.
It's actually a smoker.
It's a smoker. It's like a kettle grill.
Well, no, it's not a kettle grill.
Well, it's kind of like a round.
Yeah, it's basically a convection oven. It's electrically powered and there's no gas, and you feed it wood chips and it creates a very smoky wood-burning little thing. But honestly, this thing is amazing. I'm not going to be able to go to the bathroom for a week for all the pounds of meat that we've eaten, but boy, it was really good. So, yeah, Traeger Smoking Grills.
This part of the Get podcast one. Brought to you by Traeger.
Yeah, no, we always talk about food. Well, we used to. We don't do it as much.
No, I love it.
It was really good. He stuck a chicken on there, like literally.
A whole chicken or?
Whole chicken. Hour and a half later, best chicken you ever had.
It was so good.
Really?
Like, it's crazy good.
It was
good.
Unbelievable. I mean, the skin was crisp, the meat was moist, and all the fat had run off.
It was delicious. I don't.
In fact, we should probably make one for Yazdi, you know?
We should do that because, yeah. Seriously, best chicken you've ever had.
In fact, what we'll do is before our next podcast, we should eat. Yeah, we should do some meat.
We should just buy a couple of chickens, stick one on the grill for him, keep one for us. Yeah. You'll take home a freshly smoked chicken.
So good. And literally just had this Traeger spice on it.
It's awesome.
Which must be like crack.
Yeah, it was so good.
Very good.
Anyway, enough about our smoking. We've got a couple of, I guess.
Nothing to do with smoking.
The anti-smoking movies, yes. We got the children's movies this week, but as movie rollers, we do our duty. We don't review a lot of kids' films anymore. I think we did when we started. Then there are those movies that I think kind of look interesting to us, and there are those movies which I think we'll never get a good review, but that we try and avoid. You know, we stayed away from the Wimpy Kid movies, for example. They weren't.
Can't do them justice.
Well, it's not fair for us to review them because they're not aimed at us, and I think a lot of other animations have that two-level adult kiddie audience that they're heading for. So we had two of those this week, Mr. Peabody and Sherman. I guess, should we start there?
Sure.
Yes.
So I'm introing this one. And the basic premise of this movie, it's a kind of a spin-off of the old, you remember the Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons back in the 60s? They had a kind of a sidebar character, Mr. Peabody, who was a talking dog, happened to be the smartest dog in the world. And he invented a time machine and they had some adventures. I don't remember any of that. I wasn't a huge fan of Rocky and Bullwinkle, but we did see them in the UK. I know nothing or remember nothing about Mr. Peabody and Sherman. But anyway, these characters seemed to be well-loved, and they were well-loved enough to get a bit of a reboot and a remake by DreamWorks. I think this was this DreamWorks?
Yes.
Directed by Rob Minkoff, who has directed the Stuart Little movies and also is credited with directing The Lion King. I'm blown away by that. I didn't know that. I'm a huge Lion King fan. How could I have not known that? So, yeah, very accomplished director. It's got a cast of not necessarily A-listers, but we have Ty Burrell, who's voicing Mr. Peabody, the dog. We have Allison Janney, Stephen Colbert, Ariel Winter from Modern Family as well, with Ty Burrell, and Leslie Mann. So the basic premise is Mr. Peabody is a very intelligent, super intelligent dog, in fact, probably the most intelligent being on the planet. And he's been allowed to adopt a little boy, Sherman, who he chooses to educate about history by taking him around through history using a time machine that he's built. Chaos obviously ensues whenever you have little kids and access to time machines, and the movie kind of goes on from there. So, guys, what did you think of Mr. Peabody and Sherman?
So I think Peabody and Sherman is a flat-out brilliant film. I mean, moment by moment, it is filled with whimsy and wit and humor. I laughed and I cried, and this is how to do an animated movie right.
I couldn't agree with you more, Yazdi. Welcome to one of my favorite movies of the year so far. This is funny, smart, witty, and highly emotional. I fell in love with Mr. Peabody, and I want to go in the time machine.
I want to see the second, third, and fourth parts right now. Carry on, Joe.
I mean, I like this film a lot as well. I think it was written and created, obviously, with a lot of love for these characters. I think they are all very respectfully handled. I'm not familiar with them, but there's nothing irritating or annoying about any of them. And I think the premise of this, you know, super intelligent dog could have been really quite an annoying one, you know, that kind of overly bright, sarcastic, too terribly witty dog. But even his terrible, dreadful puns made me laugh in the moment. So a very fun movie.
Yeah, and I wonder if a lot of that has to do with the fact that Ty Burrell has voiced him so beautifully. I really felt like that was a good fit, the voice and the character.
Yeah, I think it understands the fact that most good animated movies have to work at two levels. Like you said earlier, Joe, that, you know, it should keep the little ones enthralled. And at the same time, it should prevent the adults who have brought the little kids there from, you know, trying to kill themselves, you know, out of boredom. Or better yet, you know, keep them laughing. And I think this movie is so thoughtful and considered. And, you know, there's all these, maybe it's the fact that it has to do with science. There's all these science jokes and there's all these Leonardo da Vinci gags. And so maybe it's because its humor is a bit prissy, you know, a bit PBS, if you will. Or maybe it's about the fact that it's about dogs. Or maybe it's, you know, it's another film which is searching for the definition of family. But whatever it is, it really resonated for me.
It was stunning. I mean, I think it's a really smart way to get kids interested and excited about history. It's really quite clever and subtle in the way that it did that, but it got me excited about history and made me want to go back and read some stuff again that I'd forgotten about. And it was just so joyful. And
yeah,
the other thing that struck me was the production design. I know you can't strictly call it production design because it's animation and computer graphics, but Mr. Peabody's apartment was beautiful. And just the whole...
It was very
stylish.
The very Incredibles-like, you know?
It had that Incredibles aesthetic with the kind of the narrowing of the legs. Right. If you notice, everything around his apartment also had that narrowing. I pointed out to Rashmi.
Oh, I didn't know.
We watched a little HBO special on... It wasn't the making, but it was a little bit
the history
just... About the history of the characters. And, you know, they had a freeze frame. I think we put the TV on pause. Even the light switches narrow towards the bottom. Oh. They all have that very, but it's very subtly done. You don't notice it, but in freeze frame, all of the little details they put into it, brilliant.
It was just stunning. I mean.
But, you know, who can think of making Leonardo da Vinci jokes?
I know.
I mean, that takes some wit. That takes, you know,
it's
credit.
Smart.
It's smart.
Yeah.
So, and it's not stuffy.
No.
It's kind of silly fun.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they took a lot of liberties with the historical side of things, but I think they did it in a way that made, if I was a kid, I would be interested now, you know, what happened in Troy? What happened, who was Leonardo da Vinci and what was the Renaissance? And,
right.
You know, it was done respectfully enough to kind of pique that interest that you might have as a child. And I don't know that this movie was necessarily set out to be educational, but I think in terms of trying to activate a child's imagination, it hit the nail on the head because, like Rashmi, it activated mine.
Yeah, and I mean, some of the criticism I've read about the movie is that everybody complains that it just, you know, it's like a Cliff Notes version of history. that it just kind of gives lip service to all of these events. But my point is short of actually doing a historical animated movie, right. How else are you going to do it? And there's a fine balance between educating and being fun. You can't get all educational on somebody's ass.
It's not intended to be educational. Right. If it was, if you want to educate your kids, don't send them to the movies. Give them a history book.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
The other thing I loved was I think this was a phenomenal 3D experience. This is actually one where I would say spend the extra money and see it in 3D. It was totally immersive, and that time machine and the effects were just stunning. Just the imagination of the spaceship itself, it was so cool.
Yeah,
the
red dot.
Yeah, it was something like Apple would have made. It had that kind of Apple aesthetic, which I loved.
Yeah. There's nothing lazy or tired or, generic about it. But I think for me, most of all, what really worked for me is the political statement that the movie's making, which is about who is fit to parent a child.
Right.
And I never thought it would be possible, for a bunch of silly animated characters in a movie simply saying, I'm a dog. That's all. There's a scene in the movie where all these characters start saying, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog. And that had like tears rolling down my eyes. Seriously. I mean,
I was the same.
I was very moved by that.
I was the same. I was the same.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was a little much for me, but I do think it was effective. And I think, like you say, so the underlying message was very clear that, the parenting, I won't get into it here, but it was very, very nicely handled.
Beautiful. Okay.
I mean, if I had one criticism just before we wrap up, it's that the plot towards the end had my head in a spin. I mean, it gets very convoluted at times. I mean, I was like, what? But anything with time machine and time travel and, the universal paradox of never meet yourself and, the Back to the Future kind of tropes and things that we're used to. Anything like that can get really complex. And this one was like, whoa, they could have, I think, dialed that down just a little bit because I don't think kids will follow it.
Yeah.
They'll enjoy the zaniness.
So Yazdi and I learned a new word at South by Southwest because there were many time travel movies at South by Southwest this year. And we were lucky enough to see good ones, two good ones, at least, which we'll talk about in another show. But what was the word, Yazdi, you came up with? It was the snake that eats its tail.
The Ouroboros.
Spell that for me.
Ouroboros.
So okay.
It's, you've seen it in Greek mythology. There's the snake which is eating its own tail.
Okay.
And you've seen it on logos and a lot of places. But, it's kind of,
like a time travel symbology in a way.
Yeah.
This had lots of Ouroboros or Ouroboros. In it because, my head, I was literally cross-eyed trying to.
But it just struck me there are a lot of time travel movies coming, so...
It's always a fun theme to explore in movies. Yeah.
But I think the secret to a good time travel movie is that as long as the rules stand... doesn't matter what the rules are that you make up, you can do anything. As long as the film follows the rules and then doesn't change them on you at the last minute, it's fine, and I think this did a good job of doing that. So let's wrap up now. So, Yazdi, why don't you go first?
So I think this film is a shining example of how to be silly fun, yet entertaining, yet inventive, yet energetic, and yet heartfelt. I want to meet all of the makers of this film and the director, the writers, the creators of these characters, and shake each of their hands in person and thank them for making this film. I mean, this film is the reason I like movies so much. I have so much unlimited fondness for it. I recommend it to everyone. It deserves more than an 8 out of 10 because I am already... I'm willing to call it a classic right now, but I'm going to stick with 8 for now. And that breaks my heart. Maybe it'll be a 9 as days go on. But like I said before, I can't wait to watch it again. I can't wait to buy the DVD. And I cannot wait for the next installment. I cannot say enough good things. I'm going to stop now.
So,
I mean, yes, you said it all. I mean, I think it's terrifically fun. It's clever. It's intelligent. It was very, very nicely and respectfully handled. And I think the... difficulty that this movie has, I think, in some ways, is that, I mean, this should be the summer blockbuster, right? This should be the big animated hit of the year. And I hope it gets that kind of success, but I don't know why they released it when they did, because this is the time of year when you kind of throw out your less,
spring break.
I wish they had more confidence in their product. Yeah. I really do.
I wonder if it's a spring break maybe.
In all honesty, I think this movie was hard to market. I watched the trailer. Rashmi, you got excited by the trailer.
Yeah, I loved it.
I really was not excited by the trailer. I thought this was going to be another one of those too clever kind of Shark Tale type movies with a gag every second instead of, you know, real humor and good writing.
I mean, what gratifies me is 2 weeks after the movies opened this weekend, it topped the box office.
So, terrific. And I think word of mouth on this will be very strong.
And that's our job to do that. So your score is?
Stop cutting me off. I'll give my score, which is 8 out of 10. But honestly, it's a really cleverly, beautifully done, highly accomplished piece of filmmaking.
As good as any Pixar.
Well, you know, it's different to Pixar. I think Pixar tries to tug at the emotions a little bit more than this movie did. But I think as a great piece of family entertainment, it stands, you know, easily alongside the Despicable Me's and with Steve.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, those kind of movies.
Okay, for me, and this is not doing it justice, it's as fun as a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and as adventurous as Indiana Jones. You will not be disappointed by this movie. I can't wait for more sequels like you, Yazdi. I want to rush out and see them. This is brilliant, absolutely brilliant and heartwarming. And I want everyone to see this movie. I'm giving this a 9 out of 10.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Probably our best reviewed movie of the year so far, then.
Yeah, just beautiful. I mean, the emotionality just hits it right on the head.
And you know, for me, I love it when, like, at a certain point in the movie, you just know that you are in good hands and you just relax and you stop trying to dissect the movie or understand it. You just enjoy the ride. You sit back and say, okay, I'm going to surrender to the goodness. This doesn't come around often. Let me just enjoy the fine product for what it is.
Like, I didn't want it to finish.
That happens very early on in this film. I mean, I think, again, I always sit down to these things with a certain degree of trepidation of like, is this going to be a good kids film or is this going to be a kids film? And yeah, within seconds, the first few lines of dialogue kind of settled me down. Good stuff. Let's move on to our second movie of the weekend, which is The Muppets. I should say Muppets Most Wanted.
Muppets Most Wanted. So after the success of the reboot of Muppets in 2011, remember that movie with Jason Segel and Amy Adams?
Which I liked a lot. I think you guys not so much.
I didn't hate it. It was fine. So here's the next chapter in The Muppets. It's called Muppets Most Wanted. And in this version, the Muppets are on an international tour. And in Europe, a Hermit the Frog doppelganger and his sidekick villain ensnare them in an adventure involving a jewelry heist.
Did you call him Hermit or Kermit?
Did I say Hermit? Kermit. Hermit the Frog. No, Kermit the Frog.
That's another character.
The film is directed by James Bobbin, who also shares screenwriting credits with Nicholas Stoller. The film stars Ty Burrell, again, from Mr. Peabody and Sherman. Tina Fey is in it, and so is Ricky Gervais. And there are cameos from a whole bunch of people, from Salma Hayek, Zach Galifianakis, Stanley Tucci, and maybe some of these are meant to be surprises. So I'm not gonna give their names, and I'm gonna say there are a lot of cameos and leave it at that.
Yeah, and I was wondering whether you could do the introduction in Kermit's voice because you do a really good Kermit impression.
It's the Muppet Show. We got very special. No, I can't do it.
Well, that's pretty good.
Hey, no, Kermit. Well, just total disclaimer before we get into any of my review comments. I am a Muppet fanatic from the age of like I think five six, or six. Yeah. I had a Kermit the Frog that used to stay with me everywhere. He now lives in the box in the garage, so I think I need to get him out because that's not terribly respectful. But I loved everything about the Muppets and still do.
So I unfortunately couldn't watch the movie because I had a conflict, but you guys saw it bright and early one Saturday morning. And I'm eager to hear how this movie matches up.
Yeah, so like Joe, I'm also a Muppets fan, probably not as big a Muppets fan as Joe, but you know, who doesn't want to see another Muppets movie? It's always great to spend time with them. And, you know, I would say this movie was way better for me than the Jason Segel one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, way better in terms of, you know, it had a good story, I would say. It's funny and it's cute. And, you know, it's packed full of talent, including Ray Liotta, believe it or not. Mm. I liked it. I enjoyed it.
So, again, bearing in mind that I'm not terribly objective when it comes to Muppets, You know, the nostalgia factor for me, I think, is always always going to be an issue when I watch these movies. I just like being in this universe all the time. And I think, to me, this wasn't as good as Jason Segel's version, but only because Jason Segel had a great love for the Muppets. And I think that movie came across as very respectful. It was, you know, we're getting the band back together, and it, you know, every character was kind of explored their ups and downs. You know, this movie was back to more madcap Muppet zany crazy stuff, which when done well is really good. And this was done well, you know, all the Muppet, you know, there's explosions and there's jokes, and they're all very funny, and there's, you know, Miss Piggy jokes about, you know, being bacon and all kinds of, you know, there's all sorts of inappropriate Duel level humor. But I think the big criticism for me for this movie was something that fellow critic Anders Wright, who has done a podcast with us in the past, he mentioned it to us at the end, and it really made me think, who is this movie for? Because I don't really think it's a good kids movie. There's not that much for them here. There's lots of 1970s flashback, including a sequence that had Rashmi and I laughing for the next 2 hours after the movie had ended, and has me pre-ordering the soundtrack on Amazon when it comes out on Tuesday. But the kids were just sat there kind of meh. So we've got to be careful with reviewing this one in that. I think it's more for me than them.
I agree. I think it's more of an adult movie than a kids movie, because it's almost got a joke a minute just being thrown at you. Muppets
was always like that. Don't
forget
that.
Muppets was always like that, which is always interesting. But I think, you know, for me, I think the song numbers, like they throw these song numbers in, they were a little bit forced. They're sweet. They work. But the really funny laughs come from the bad frog. You know, the sort of the counter Kermit,
which is you know, Kermit.
Like a Constantine. Okay. He's called Constantine. And he's really funny. And like Joe said, I mean, there is this one scene, and I'll just describe it as the scene where the frog is wearing a white silk shirt. And it is so hilarious, I almost peed myself. It's so funny, and it's so well done. But I'm with Joe. I mean, who's going to go and see this film? People like us, people who are Muppets fans from the 70s and who grew up with them.
Do kids these days even watch Muppets? Is it on television
for kids?
I don't think it is. I mean, they have Sesame Street, so I think they're used to that kind of Jim Henson-type character. But the Muppets in and of themselves aren't on. And the Muppet Show, I've got the DVD box set. I mean, I'm a huge fan.
And we've watched some of them again, and they're so hilarious.
But they're adult humor. I mean, it's unashamedly... and these were prime time. Remember, don't forget, the Muppet Show was really famous for being a prime time show that was aired, you know, with puppets for adults. But you know, it was kind of a whole family thing. But they were prime time American TV show back in the 70s and 80s. And that's why they had all these stars coming. You know, the Muppets were
they had
Peter Sellers and, big guest stars.
Huge, huge guest stars.
Because everyone needed to be there. So, and the Muppets still targets, I think, this movie still targets that audience.
So maybe, it is targeting the people who grew up with that. Maybe it is meant
that's
for
what
adults.
I think. That's what I think it is. But, you know, I think it's a good excuse if you've got a kid to go along and see it. You know, I think they're going to get something. But, yeah, Joe's right. There was. It's a long movie, too. It felt like a long movie. I don't know what it's running. I don't know what the running time is. But, you know, it feels like a long movie. And I think just these one-liners that keep coming, they're almost exhausting to watch. I think it's a good enough story. But I just, like I said, I think it goes on too long. And then my biggest gripe, this is my biggest gripe with the movie, and it may just be because Jim Henson's gone. The voices for Kermit and Miss Piggy are just off for me. And I was so distracted by that. You know, they've done a good job voicing all of the other characters, but Miss Piggy and Kermit were so off. I was so distracted. So that's been I would take off like 2 points just for that.
They weren't so off, but if you grew up with the originals, they were off just enough.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
What about the cast? Ricky Gervais and Tina Fey? And
they do a good job. I mean, I can't believe they've got Ricky Gervais singing and dancing and, you know, he shouldn't. He's really bad. But it's funny. You know, it works.
Kind of miss Jason Segel and Amy Adams. I really enjoyed their last reboot simply because they did have such love for these characters. And I think I almost wanted to spend a little bit more time in their version of the Muppets as opposed to this one, which is more of a traditional, you know, it goes back to kind of, remember the Muppet Christmas Caper and the Muppet Treasure Island and all, you know, it's one of those. All okay. good fun, all very enjoyable, but
more traditional. That
yeah,
day.
And I enjoyed how much respect and love that the other movie showed. But you know, the music, I thought the songs were really great fun in this. For me, in some ways, the high point of the movie was the songs. I mean, the whole soundtrack I thought was done with a lot of fun. Yeah, it's all tongue in cheek comedy. I mean, the very first song is called, you know, "We're Getting a Sequel" or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so the first few lines of the song are, you know, "We're getting a sequel. It's not going to be as good as the original, but we got a sequel. Yay." You know, and it's like, you know.
Very meta, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know, again, I don't know that kids would find the humor in that. You know, kids want. I think,
but it's bright and there's lots of fluffy things moving.
There's always
and, you
things
know,
going on. So the younger kids, I think, will be adequately, you know, mesmerized by puppets flying across the screen. But
okay.
Anything sure. more?
No, that's it. You want to wind this one up?
Sure.
Go.
So, you know, another enjoyable entry into the Muppets saga. I think this is, are we doing double digits yet in terms of Muppet movies? I think we probably are. And as far as I'm concerned, may that continue. Really enjoy spending time here. This is a well-done movie. Just be careful if you're taking your kids, because they might not find it as much fun as you. And they're certainly not going to get the kind of 1970s Barry White-esque vibe that runs for 2 minutes that the two of us thought was so hilariously funny.
I mean, just seeing a Kermit in a white silk shirt.
I mean, there's,
with a little necklace shimmying is hilarious.
It's Vaseline soft focus, you know, back like they did in the 70s, right? I mean, and there literally is a tub of Vaseline. The kids won't get that, but the rest of us find that hilarious.
Yeah. I think we were probably laughing the loudest.
What was your score?
Oh, you didn't give a score.
Oh, sorry.
because he wants to know what was your score.
I mean, I enjoyed this more than an 8 out of 10 implies, but that's, I think, my own personal bias with this particular set of characters. I love them unconditionally, so a bad movie with Muppets in it is not a bad movie. But for me, this was a very adequate entry, so yeah, 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I would just say if you love the Muppets as much as we do, if you love the Muppets even half as much as we do, go out and see this film. And if you're lucky enough to borrow someone's kids or take your own, then that's a good cover. But if not, go and see the movie. It's fun. I would say 7 out of 10.
Yeah, right now it's running 70% on Rotten Tomatoes, but that's early. There's only 7 reviews counted so far. And I think it'll probably settle at somewhere between 50 and 60.
Oh, really? I would have thought a little bit higher.
No, I think there's going to be a lot of... There's a lot to dislike about this movie. If you want to nitpick, you know, it's perhaps... It's not clever enough. It's not witty enough. It's not.
It's just a caper.
Nostalgic enough.
Yeah.
You know, the songs, while fun, aren't great. But yeah. All right. Let us know what you think. Mail at movierollers.com, twitter.com/movierollers as well. Facebook.com/movierollers, where we are finally over 500 fans. Yay! That was another Muppet impression. So, yeah, if you have friends that don't like us on Facebook, tell them, invite them. We'd love to build that, keep growing our community there. Until our next podcast, Too Many Movies, Too Little Time, a good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.